Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this evening is the gospel lesson. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. This is the text. And the title is Glory. Glory. What is glory? What would happen if we did a survey? What is glory? Most of the people would say glory is when people are praising you. Glory is when you've accomplished something amazing and the whole world turns out and throws you a parade or something. That's glory. And yet, there's a whole different definition of glory. The name that Jesus chose at the end of the lesson, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. The Son of Man, that heads back into the Old Testament, and most people go to visions from Daniel where there's a Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory, and that's not where we're heading tonight. There's only a couple times where that term is, that name is mentioned in that way. Most of the uses of Son of Man comes from Ezekiel, where God commands, Son of Man, do this. Son of Man, say that. Son of Man, do this. Very odd thing. And have the whole world wondering if you aren't half crazy, Son of Man. And Ezekiel has to, you can read the book of Ezekiel. It is, number one, the strangest book in the Old Testament, okay? It's number one on that ranking. And so Ezekiel has to do these things. Son of Man, in obedience to the revealed Word of God. This is the title that Jesus chooses because he has come to be the Son of Man. And what that means, let me try and sort this out for you. This means that when the time comes and Jesus takes the throne, and he's reigning with all the glory that's visible and everything else, he's still one of us. He's still Son of Man. It means that Judgment Day comes along, and there's Jesus, and he's sitting on the throne, and he's sorting everybody out, and on his right hand, and on his left hand, and this is not a judge who is so far above any and all of us that he doesn't know what it is like to walk the walk of faith. This is a judge who knows what it is like to struggle in prayer, to be hungry and thirsty, to be tempted, to be tired and fall asleep. Even out on the lake in a storm with the boat rocking and tossing around, so tired he falls asleep there. He prays with great tears. He prays with sweat that becomes drops of blood. So much is the agony because he knows what's coming. He's looking to the cross and everything in him does not want to go through that suffering, and yet he's going to go there. This is Son of Man who walks the walk by faith. That's Jesus. When he came into this world to be born for us, it wasn't like he put on skin like putting on a coat where you can take it back off when you get back home. He became one of us. That means that when he walked the hot, dusty roads of Palestine, want to know what these smelled like? Stinky feet. Okay? He knows this full well when in the upper room he lays aside his outer garment, takes a bowl of water, and stoops down and takes his disciples' stinky feet to wash them. This is Son of Man. So when Moses and Elijah appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, they are there as witnesses to this Son of Man. That everything Moses hoped for as he's on Mount Sinai and hearing the proclamation of the law and the commandments of God, everything he hoped for that he actually knew the people of Israel would fall short of and they would fall away from God over and over again, everything Moses finds fulfilled in Jesus. And Elijah the prophet, with wondrous visions and the word of God to speak and teach people, and as Elijah speaks and teaches the word of God, they're not listening. And every hope that that word would touch inside of human hearts that he looked forward to and didn't see in his day, he finds fulfilled in Jesus. This is Son of Man. And Son of Man means, yes, he's glorious, but Son of Man means that he is so much one of us that he can take the almighty Word of God, the light-creating, sun and moon and stars-creating Word of God, and he can take that Word of God and speak it to us, and it can take root in our hearts and call us to faith. He brings that for us to restore and make us belong once again. But how does he do that? Well, there's Moses and Elijah up there on the mountain and they're talking with Jesus. Matthew doesn't tell us what they're talking about. It's Luke who tells us what they're talking about. They're talking about his departure that he was about to make at Jerusalem. What does that mean? His departure. That means his cross, his dying, then his rising from the dead. It's the empty tomb. And then 40 days later, ascending up into heaven, his departure. But they don't use that word. They were talking with him about his, gotta dig back into Greek, why don't they just leave this word the same as it is in the Greek? They were talking about his exodus. Perfectly good word, isn't it? Doesn't even need translating, does it? They were talking about his exodus that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And his exodus means it wasn't just him going. It wasn't just him going to enter into all of the glory and all of the eternal kingdom of God. He was going to bring his people with him into eternal life, into eternal glory. That's what they were talking about. And boy, does that make sense for Moses to talk with him about his exodus, because Moses was the one who led the people of Israel out of Egypt by God's mighty hand and outstretched arm, going through the waters of the Red Sea, going off into the wilderness, heading to Mount Sinai, heading then to the Promised Land. And again, everything that Moses hoped for in that exodus, and everything that Moses wanted to see but didn't, now it's there in Jesus, who does the exodus for us and leads us and brings us into life. But you know what you have to have for an Exodus, don't you? In order for there to have been an Exodus in the Old Testament, there had to be a Passover. There had to be a lamb. There had to be the blood of the lamb marking the lintel and the doorposts of the people of Israel's houses with the sign of the cross and the blood of the lamb. So for us, there has to be a lamb. That's Jesus. For us, there has to be the blood of the lamb. And that's Good Friday and the cross. For us also, there is the rising of the Lamb to lead us into new life. So what is glory? Glory is this thing that Jesus is embarking on. Glory is the path of being the Redeemer, the Savior, the one around whom the whole world is built, the one around whom all of salvation is coming together, the one around whom the whole great mass of that multitude that no one could count, all of us gathering around Him and to Him. Glory is to be for all eternity the Lamb of God who takes away. I'm not gonna go there. The Lamb of God who takes away my sin. Because it's just that personal. My sin. And so is the Lamb of God. Who's He call? He calls me. Who's He want with Him in heaven? He wants me. Who does He give eternal life to? Well, that would be me. It's just that personal and just that astonishing that each one of us receiving from Him all that He has to give, we get all the blessings of God because of all that He did. In Jesus' name. Amen.